Hello, welcome back to the Independence. My name is Jason Rouse alongside Ben Trimbo. Say hi, Ben.
What's up?
Not much, Ben. You caught us. We are recording our second episode in a row at my private residence because of my infirmities prevent me from comfortably traveling around. So Ben graciously has come over.
That's right. We love you for your brain, Jason, yeah, not for your not physical firmness.
Not for my ability to walk or be in any way comfortable with that. So we're sitting here. We've got a lot to talk about. Ben, what's going on? As I've been recovering, I've had the opportunity to watch some television. But you, my friend, you've been watching some TV yourself.
Yes. Well, as you know, it's fall season, right? So the networks are bringing out their new shows, and there's a couple that I've captured. I was a big fan of the original Heroes show on NBC. Was a little bummed when it got canceled, but they've brought it back, and it's now called Heroes Reborn. And I watched the first two episodes because they just combined them into one, so pilot and then the second one, or pilot and then episode one, or however they want to phrase it. But I really liked it. I think it started off really well. It had some very interesting character story or arcs that they were beginning. It has a lot of mystery, which I love. I mean, it's one of the main things that will keep me watching a show is me going, what's going to happen next? You know what I mean? Where I haven't figured out or guessed like 90% of what's going to go on. One of the things that was pointed out to me, though, I talked to a friend of mine who watched it. And he said, I wonder if it's too reliant on the old show. So people who never watched the original show are going to come into this and go, what the hell is going on? And I hadn't thought about that because I was just excited that there's this hero show on again and it's got superheroes and powers and stuff, you know, because I'm a geek. And I started thinking about that. And I was like, oh, shit, I bet he's right. I think it might have linked too much to the original show in its storylines and rely too much on people having that knowledge. So I'm hoping that it doesn't affect anybody who's like new and coming to it, that they fall into line and they're able to bring in those new viewers as well as the original viewers, but it'll be curious to see. Oh. So that's the first show I saw. The other one was, there's this great Bradley Cooper movie called Limitless.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed Limitless.
I did too. And that's like De Niro's in that too, right?
Yeah.
His arch nemesis. Anyways, wonderful show, very, very interesting subject. So CBS turned it into a television show.
Of course.
And they actually brought Bradley Cooper into the first episode. He's not the star of the show, but
playing the same character as the movie.
Playing the same character, yeah. Cool. And now he's a senator or something. But so they have this other guy who kind of finds this drug. And I really liked how they did it. Like his father was really sick, and then he had this like situation where there was these people murdering other people and he was kind of blamed for it, but he uses this limitless drug to kind of get around it. And then he gets hooked up with the FBI. So it looks like they're going to use it as kind of a crime solving sort of case.
Sure.
If they can keep it as interesting as the first show, I'm in. I'm going to watch the shit out of this show because they the characters are very interesting. It's very well written. It doesn't feel like it's been written for a third grader, which is my biggest issue with most network television. So yeah, those are the two shows that I've given my thumbs up for, and I'm excited to, you know, to check out, and I'm hoping that they continue on. So there's a couple of other ones. I saw Grandfathered with John Stamos. It was not good.
Never heard of it.
Yeah.
But Stamos, I'm shocked.
Yeah, you're shocked.
Is that Stamos?
That's sarcasm?
That's my sarcasm coming out. Stamos sarcasm.
Stamos. You've been Stamos.
I've been Stamos. You got Stamos. He did it. He lured you in with his Stamos.
So that was one I was not super excited about. I'm trying to see the new shows as they come out, as they get time, obviously. Obviously I'm sure our listeners really appreciate my opinions on these
things. Exactly. Because they're like, you know what? I was thinking about watching Grandfather. Actually, they all love Grandfather. No, they shut down. Yeah. I gotta tell you, I haven't been watching. I'm not someone who watches new television shows. Yeah. I usually wait until you will say, now I'm going to watch Limitless. I still have The Strain. I'm ready to watch The Strain. But you have to be ready to – for me, I have to be in Limitless. There's so many shows that I haven't watched because I just have to be in the zone. Like it took me years to get through Breaking Bad, but when I finally – it clicked with me, I was able to devour it. And I know The Strain will be the same way. I'm not a horror person.
I think you need to watch an episode and then decide if you're not ready for it.
Yeah, and I've almost started so many times where I'm like, am I in the mood for this thing? Because I do, if I watch one, if it clicks, I'm going to go through all of it. So there has to be the time. What I've been doing, and I will admit this, is that for the last month and a half, since my injury, I guess it's been 10 weeks, I've been in my living room a lot on some of the lounging equipment, and I don't know how it happened, and I'm not proud of it, but on Netflix, they have the entire series of the CBS show NCIS. I may have mentioned it before, but I've watched like 230 some odd episodes. Like, I'm on season 11, man, and I am moving through. I mean,
yeah,
and because I can put it on and I cannot really, I don't have to think. I mean, yeah. I'm watching it. Do I enjoy the shows?
It's crack.
It is. And I'm just like, it's so beautifully. What's great is they've changed their formula through the years. So I've been able to really like appreciate it when you watch them all at once. The first couple years, every episode ended with them killing someone. They were shooting someone every. I mean,
wow.
I mean, it was intense. Was at the point where I was like, you guys are really just killing a lot of your suspects. Like, some of them, I get it. Some of them, like, bad, you just sort of people. Turned around. But sort of character traits shift. And you can see, like, where, like, through audience probably testing, they sort of, we're going to move him here. We're going to do this. And it was fascinating watching it. And you can see when they really hit their groove. And, you know, that corresponds when you look it up, like how it started doing in the ratings. Huh. And like, oh, because the show got, they figured out how all these characters.
It's in like three different cities now, right? They have four different shows or something like that.
Yeah,
they've
got three shows. I don't know. Three. Yeah. And I've just encountered, I think I'm up to the episode where they start with the New Orleans. Like, they do like a little backdoor.
They're ready to branch off.
A backdoor pilot where they just, what they'll do is that you'll do an episode with this whole new cast, like they did with the LA show. Their episode, there's an NCIS LA that's been around for now for like, five, 6 years. But the way that they got around doing a conventional pilot was, they'll just, okay, here's this idea for a show, we'll write the pilot, and we'll just have one person from regular NCIS have to go to Los Angeles for something, but their thing is already going, so you meet everybody. And if it goes well, there's your pilot.
Right.
So then you don't have to waste time. You can hit the ground running.
It's smart.
And
they're doing something right. They have three freaking shows based on the same. They have three shows.
And NCIS is the number one show in the world. In the world. And so it's this monster. And it's not, of all the shows that could be number one, it by no means is a good show. I mean,
no.
I've been on a couple of these network shows. And they're all essentially the same. They all have about the same budget. You know, everyone's just doing their job and they're telling the same story because that's what people want. Obviously, I can see why it's extremely comforting to go back and see these characters, to have a rapport with them. They push you as far as they can at some points, but they're always going to bring you back to this nice, soft middle.
Right.
And I see that. I understand why it does well, where it does well. Like, one of the first show I was ever on was called Leverage, and it filmed in Portland. And that show was a huge hit in certain parts of the country. Certain specific parts of the country just worship that show. And it's because they're going to give you the same. And that show is even, I mean, it was great because it's like, here's this beautiful cookie cutter thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And
but that's the problem. That's my issue. And I think I've talked about this before. Procedurals. And I used to love Leverage, but you know, you can only take so many years in my case where at the beginning of the show, you go, okay, that's the bad guy. That's the person they're trying to tell you is the bad guy. Yeah. This is going to be like they're going to think they've solved it here, especially in Leverage.
Yeah.
But then it's going to go completely wrong, and then they're going to have to every
twist,
episode.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and it's the same thing with NCIS. Like I ruined it for my sister. I don't know if I told you this before, but like she was watching it. We're all on a family vacation, and I'm. At the very beginning, like she just watched one episode. At the very beginning of the next episode, because it was playing like three in a row, I said, all right, so this person is the killer. They're going to try to show you that it's this person, and then this is what's going to happen.
Exactly.
And it was spot on. And she's like, you just ruined it for me, because now she thinks about
that. No, there's not, because it's always – but that's what you see, and that's what I started spotting, because for many years, that's how they would do it. It's changed slightly, but it would be – the person that they're chasing is always guilty – of something, but not the it's always like it's this guy that's been helping them out, or they've been put around, and they do a thing where they instruct the actor playing the ultimate bad guy to never even hint at it, to play it as though they're
straight.
I don't know. It's to the point where I think they don't even tell them they're the bad guy. They're like, you're the victim here. They play the victim, and then at the end, they're like, yeah, I did it. The best procedural show I think there ever was Law & Order for me. Because that
That's had, still on, too.
That had the strictest sort of routine, but yeah. They had so much room because it's not dependent on the personality of the characters, really, to deal with their lives. It's like... And I loved how their cold opens were always so brilliant, how they would have these seemingly fully fleshed out characters like you and me just sitting here talking, and we're into this, and then all of a sudden we'd hear a gunshot and we'd go out and someone would be dead. And you never see us again.
Right.
Because now it's on this. It was right. So great. So yeah. I've been watching that, and I've been feeling pretty bad about myself. But last night I actually got to go to a movie, and I haven't been to the movies by choice for a while. I have a little gig where I will sometimes. Well, I will go and watch movies, and
kick out old ladies. So what'd you see?
So I saw Sicario.
Oh, I want to see that. Is it good?
I really enjoyed it. It was nice. Not. I think I'd only seen the trailer maybe twice, and so you immediately have an idea of what it's going to be, like a violent traffic or something. And it was very different from what I thought. Minimal dialogue, beautiful photography, really. A tense movie. The tension was fantastic.
Who's the director? Do you know?
His name is, I can't even pronounce it right, Denis Villeneuve. He's a guy from Quebec.
But he did good?
I thought it was interesting.
I'm a huge Emily Blunt fan.
I could quibble. She's great. I could quibble and say that there was the B story did not need to be there at all. It's like trying to show you the other side of the thing and like, and it was absolutely didn't need to be there.
Gotcha.
But other than that, I mean, it's a pretty straight ahead story. It takes place over a handful of days. It's intense. Like I said, the tension of the piece was fantastic. They use some thermal imaging cameras that I usually don't like, but I'm like, I'm down with it. Benicio del Toro's in it. He's fantastic. Always great.
Nice.
Really, really, like I said, I haven't been a movie where I felt that kind of tension.
Now, would you recommend going to the theater to see it?
I would, because it was nice and big and loud, and the music was great, and the sound design was fantastic.
Nice.
But again, it happened to me, it's never the actual movie. I always forget until I'm walking into the actual auditorium. I just sort of take this huge sigh knowing that I'm going to have to watch it with other people because I hate them. And when you go into a movie and it was the 10 o'clock movie and I'm looking around and I was with a friend of mine and it's nothing but couples.
Oh, wow.
And here's...
That sounds like a great date movie, actually.
This is a stupid side point, but all of them, I believe all of them, I didn't see one that weren't. They were all... And there was maybe 30 people. They were all on their phones. No one. It was dead silent when we walked in. And they were all on their phones. Saying this to each other on their phones. And I was like, good fucking God. And then as the trailer started, this man and this woman and their daughter walked in and walked down and walked like through a row in front of us, kind of near the front of the auditorium. And we're kind of talking and arguing about where to go. And I'm like, you need to shut your fucking mouth. This is not going to – I don't know what you're doing in here. I don't know. It was like the kid who brought the blanket from home. I'm like, what are you doing? Stay home and go to sleep. It's 10 o'clock. But the movie was off without a hitch. There was a few people there are moments in the movie where they have to like release the tension. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They got to pull the valve. And at those points, people would, and that's going to happen.
Sure.
And cause you have to I get it. Cause I was like, fuck. I realized several times in the movie, I had begun leaning forward. And things were over, and I was able to like lean back at that,
just relax a little
Jesus,
bit.
Jesus, guys.
So the audience was acceptable.
They did. They did their jobs.
Okay.
I didn't.
They cheered in the right
part. A few times, I looked back because there was a person kind of to my rear and left, and I could hear them a few times, but nothing terrible where I felt like I had to get up. Once I kind of turned over, and the guy across from me was like, right, and I'm like, that's cool. But, it was good. I mean, some trailers for new movies, the new Spielberg movie, which looks...
Like a Spielberg movie?
Like a Spielberg movie. You don't need to see that. The Revenant is coming. The new Alfonso Iñárritu film looks fantastic.
Okay.
Shot on that big, airy 65 camera. It looks like digital 65 millimeter.
Wow. So it's probably going to be gorgeous, but I've looked at what it's about, and I mean, it could be a great movie, but it's not going to be one that I'm going to rush out to see.
I'm going to see it. I just, again, I feel like it just looks like a bunch of miserable people in the cold and wet being miserable, and I'm so glad that I live in the year of our Lord 2015, that I don't have to be a fur trapper in goddamn Canada somewhere being attacked by bears and Indians and Tom Hardy.
Right.
It's not for me.
Yeah, so I was thinking about going to movies. I was thinking about going to the cheap theater and to watch Fantastic Four, and you and I talked about this before.
Yes.
So I think it was Friday, and it was when all the new movies come out, right? So Friday, I go and hop online and like, okay, when is it showing? Yeah. Maybe I'll go this weekend. It's gone already.
No.
It didn't even survive the cheap theater.
I'm really disappointed that I didn't get to see that. I truly am, because there's nothing more pleasurable than going and eating a little bit of popcorn and watching a big movie like that. And if it's going to be bad, so much the better.
Right, for $3.
$3.
And you know what? Mission Impossible's there now, so I'll probably go see that.
You're gonna have a great time.
Yeah.
You're going to have a great time. You know, I've never been to the the Avalon.
Oh, I'd love it. I mean, they're tiny little theaters, but it's a movie theater.
Really?
Yeah, and the popcorn's decent. I always get a thing of Junior Mints.
Yeah.
Get my water, and I just munch away.
From the time you started going to movies, did you ever have like a snack, like a consistent snack, even through periods? Like when I started going to movies, and that was like the mid-80s, my parents would drop me off. My thing was I would eat lemon heads. I would get a box of lemon heads and like a Coke. And that's what I had for years. And then it switched to Junior Mints and a Coke for years, uninterrupted.
Yeah.
And then, I never dug popcorn at movies.
Really?
I wasn't into it. And then it was Jurassic Park, I think the first one came out.
Is that 94?
It was 93.
93.
And I remember distinctly because I was so, I will never forget walking into, saw it at the West, no, I did see it at the Westgate. And I was just, I remember standing in line and I remember like, smelling the pop, it was like I smelled it for the first time. I'll never forget it. Excited for Jurassic Park. And like, I really thought, God, my mouth is actually watering for popcorn. And it was one of the best experiences ever because I ate this amazing popcorn. And for years, I would say that the Westgate Theater in Beaverton, Oregon, Act 3 would have these little contests and it all consistently won best popcorn. And I worked there for a long time as well. And we had a little special way we made it.
Nice.
Anyone could.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it was so good.
I worked in the movie theater. I think I said that last week. And at the end of the shift, you pull all the popcorn out of the bins, and you put it in these big plastic bags, and then you refill them in the morning for the next day.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the weekend, if you have any left over, they throw it away. Or if you work there, you can take that gigantic bag of popcorn home, which I did a couple of times and never got close. But I've always loved popcorn.
Oh, it's so fantastic. And when I started working there, certainly my popcorn consumption went up. We used to, in the summer at the Westgate, it was just one of the best places I've ever worked. Probably the happiest I've ever been. In the summer, every night in the summer, every night there was the option we would screen movies after hours, whatever we had. And it was a 5-plex.
Nice.
And we would let the manager would let anyone stay who wanted to, and you would get the bag. So you would, and then people became being smart. It's like, well, you know, we would have, and we didn't like to waste a lot of popcorn, so we were pretty good about guessing our popping, so we wouldn't have to bag stuff. But what we would do is we're going to screen Escape from LA tonight. You would pop a few loads, fill it into bags, and you take those bags in. So you're just eating from,
fresh.
Eating a few people this giant fresh bag of popcorn. We used to smoke in the theaters.
Oh, dude.
We would smoke cigars.
I'm not going to talk about what I used to do.
Never smoked pot in there, really, or too many times, but I was a smoker, and I would smoke cigarettes. And then some of the managers were like, oh, we'll smoke cigars. And there was nothing. The air systems are so brilliant in there.
Yeah.
You can smoke all night.
Yeah.
You'll never know. And we were very careful. But to sit in a nice theater seat and smoke half a pack of cigarettes while watching whatever we were watching.
And you're a teenager and you're a rebel.
Yeah. You know, I was in college then and it was summer and it was just, it was just the one summer is the summer that Escape from LA, because we watched that like 20 times and it was marvelous. I miss those times, but I wonder, so what are you eating now? Are you still eating the,
so you asked me, so when I was a kid, I loved like sweet and sour things. So I think it was, I don't remember what the, I mean, that's Sour Patch Kids, but it was like, I like the equivalent of that, like sure. in the early 80s and the early 90s. I transitioned into popcorn, Twizzlers, and drink. Drinks have always kind of changed. I kind of got off of sodas when I was around 19. I just drank a lot of soda, a lot of pop when I was a kid, and I just got off of that. But so I always got my sugar through the Twizzlers, and then I'd get the bag of popcorn. I did Twizzlers forever, and then all of the movie theaters, I don't know if they had some big coup between Twizzlers and Red Vines, and they're behind the scenes, you know, jockeying for display case. But Red Vines got taken in, and Twizzlers went away, so I quit. Because I like Red Vines, but I don't enjoy them during a movie. I don't know why. I think it's because they're cherry, and I like the strawberry Twizzlers or something like that. And
the Twizzlers are kind of like... Can you really taste, though, in those terrible licorice, bland plastic? It's so interesting. I've never been down.
So I changed to popcorn and Junior Mints once the Twizzler fiasco occurred, and I've been doing that ever since. And I love a good, you know, chocolate mint. I always have, and it always makes me smile when I sit down in the theater with my big bag of popcorn. I've got my candy, and I'm like, I'd smile, and I'm like, I'm gonna have a good time for the next two hours.
It's the best thing ever.
And if it's a cheap theater, I'm like, I don't even care if the movie sucks.
Exactly. I'm not here for you, movie. Right. I used to every spring. I love it. And now we're leaving at the summer movie season because that's when I would eat popcorn. I never eat it in the winter months. It's not interesting to me. But if there's, you know, like when I did get to see, I did have a screening of Jurassic World, and it was like
also at the cheap theater.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez, finally. And it was a trade screening, which means this was well before it came out in theaters. So it was just me and two other guys in the giant screen at Lloyd. And I got there, and I really, it was so early, but I was like, I'm going to need popcorn for this. Like, this is one of the... And so I was sort of remarking to the manager, and he's like, give me a couple minutes. And he went, and he warmed up the popper, and he started popping.
Nice.
And I ate a gigantic thing of popcorn through this movie, like, rocking back and forth, watching Jurassic World in 3D. Not really enjoying it, but enjoying it. I mean, the popcorn and the Coke Zero I had was really phenomenal. I was like, this is just lighting me up. And he came in at one point, and he's like, I got you another. Want a refill?
Nice.
Like, just keep it coming. The other one's your fault. And I was so sick the rest of that day because I hadn't eaten breakfast. It was like a 10 o'clock screening. So when you're plowing down about 14 gallons of popcorn at 10 in the morning, you're going to pay the price. You're going to pay the price.
The next day as well.
It's just...
A lot of fiber in popcorn.
You're just... Oh, man. It is... Something is wrong.
Yeah.
You will be a farting mess.
Yes.
You will be lighting up everything. I came home. And I will neither... Confirm or deny.
I will neither confirm or deny that I have experienced that myself. But I have eaten a lot of popcorn.
I have to give it up. And it's one of those things where it's bittersweet. It's bittersweet. At the movie last night... It's just something that
too much butter and stuff.
I mean, even if I had it without, I mean, there's some stuff in there I just shouldn't have. You know, and to be honest, I've eaten my fair share of popcorn. Yeah. I've eaten your share and my neighbor's share.
I do. I go buy organic popcorn and then I pop it at home and then I put in my more organic butter or my know, butter substitute that's healthier, and then I put just a little bit of salt on it. And
if I had an air popper, I would probably do the same thing. Yeah. I should get an air popper because.
They're cheap.
Sometimes, every once in a while, I would go and buy, because as an adult, and at 39 years old, I just got a microwave last year. Never had a microwave.
I just got rid of mine.
Really? Because I just never wanted a microwave. Yeah. I'm like, I felt it maybe, I liked using the stove, and I'm like, this is what a person should do. And a year ago for Christmas, called my friends, here's a brand new microwave. And I'm like, guys, I'm like, you should just have one. And I don't use it often. And really, I use it for microwave popcorn occasionally, because sometimes I'll be sitting around and going like, I need some popcorn. So you go to the store and like, it's brilliant for that. And they have this new microwave. Oh, this is amazing, man. So they have this, I was looking at, and there's like three companies that make it, but there's so many different options. And one of them, I think it's Pop Secret, it says, like, now in a bowl. And I'm like, I love the idea. It's just the normal sort of fold-out thing. But if you flip it horizontally when it's done, as it fills up, there's this very, like, this red...
I've seen those.
Like, cellophane. And you tear it off, and the bottom half is this convenient bowl.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I've seen those.
Get into that.
Because popcorn connoisseurs. Yes,
I just love it, you know? I never got behind the... I've only had it a few times in my life. What's the kind you cook on the stove?
Jiffy Pop. Yeah.
Never had a good experience. Anytime that was ever made for me, they were burned.
Yeah.
It just wasn't... I don't know anyone who's ever had a successful Jiffy Pop experience.
It was just never that tasty. The bag has always been the way to go. But I got rid of my micro. It's funny, too, because in 1999, I moved to El Centro, California, which is... BFE, it is the middle, it is on the border with Mexico. I could literally see Mexico from my apartment's balcony. And I go to the Walmart and I'm walking around Walmart. All the announcements are in Spanish first and then English.
Yeah.
And this was a very interesting time in my life. But I go to Walmart and I buy this, I want to say $80 microwave, maybe not even that. I mean, it was cheap, right? So I take this microwave home and I had that microwave from 1999 until this year, where I finally took it to Goodwill because it still worked. I was just like, I'm just going to want to give this microwave away. And I replaced the microwave with the toaster oven, and I've been pretty happy with that. And I had an air popper for popcorn and stuff like that. But yeah, it's been interesting not having one. But I kind of got in the habit of using the stove more for things and for heating and all that stuff. Yeah. And it's interesting that you've never had one, and now you're experiencing it. And
of course, I had one. My mother had one growing up. We always did.
Yeah.
But I really never liked the way things tasted out of it. We never used it to cook. It's just heating something up.
Yeah.
And I just remember hating. I remember heating a pizza in that thing, and I hated the way it tasted.
Yeah.
And I always preferred, like, if you're going to read up a piece of pizza, you do it in the oven.
Yeah, get crispy.
It's pretty simple. Mm. I mean, my mom always told me the way. She's like, you put the pizza on the thing in there, and when it's cold, and you turn it to 350, and you wait 10 minutes, and you go back in, and as it heats up, gradually it heats through it. And that's how I still do it to this day.
Yeah.
I put it cold, 350 degrees, 10 minutes, and it's great.
Nice.
So, yeah, the microwave is a little – I mean, I've used it to reheat a couple simple things, but – it's just it's my popcorn maker, essentially, until I go and get the
nice air popper. Good for that, too.
But an air popper would be – this has been a very informative episode of The Independents.
Tips and tricks outside of
tips and tricks
film and television.
There's so many things we didn't get to today. We're going to save it for next time. We want to thank you for stopping by our virtual world inside our brains and listening to us talk about movie snacks and movies. And the terrible TV shows that I'm watching. And we don't know if they're good or not, what Ben's watching. Time will tell. We think you should watch Limitless. Mark Harmon is amazing.
NCIS.
And people should get behind Mark Harmon and NCIS. I've watched about 200 and some episodes. Like 230, I think.
You remember Mark Harmon in Beastmaster?
No, that's not Mark Harmon.
It's not Mark Harmon.
That's Mark Singer.
Mark Singer, right.
Mark Harmon.
What was Mark Harmon's big thing?
He was in Summer School.
Summer School.
He was also in St. Elsewhere. He did a lot of TV and stuff. Yeah,
that's right.
He had
one big thing back when we were all young. I remember that.
I remember his back. Summer School.
Summer School.
Not Back to School. Summer School.
Yeah.
Back to School is Rodney Dangerfield. You guys in the rabbit holes of our brain.
Right.
Thank you for stopping by. We're going to be back next week. My name's Jason Rouse. You can find me on Twitter at Jason_Rouse. Ben Trimbo is on Twitter at
Ben Trimbo, TRMBO.
That's how you spell Trimbo. And Bingo was his name-o. Goodbye, everybody.